Soul podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
The Bible tells us that the Word of God is living and active. It is not just the Logos, it's the Rhema. It's alive. It actually breathes. It actually gives you life. The more you understand the Word of God, the more you believe the Word of God, the greater realms of faith you'll have. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, we started 7 weeks ago when the virus hit and Singapore. We decided, even long before the government told us to do not do service, that we were not going to do it. It was irresponsible, and we wanted to be able to deliver the word through this medium. We began by talking about what is God doing. And we said God was doing a lot of things. As early as last year, fires in Australia were raging and could not be stopped. Now, I'm not saying in any means that God was responsible for that. It's probably people, but God uses these situations in order to bring us to a place in this moment. Now, a volcano is probably not man-made. Now, because at some point in the plagues of Egypt, some of those were made by man, some of those were made by God. But all of those are overwhelmingly under the sovereignty of God, including the coronavirus, including the tornado in Nashville, Tennessee, including the earthquake in Bali, Indonesia, which interestingly all occurred in the first 2 months of the year. And now we find ourselves towards the end of March, an economic depression most likely, but we just pray that it will not happen. We said at the beginning of this series of messages, this is our seventh and final week of this series of messages, and we said this was the greatest opportunity. Because there are lessons to be learned in this hour that we will not want to learn given the circumstances. And then we said that it starts in Hebrews 12:26. We began with this verse. His voice shook the earth, but now, and this is a promise, that once more, in other words, God will keep shaking the things that can be shaken, even the heavens and the earth. The words once more indicate the removing. The whole goal of the shaking is not because God's mad or angry. He's trying to get us to a place of stability because he's showing us that if you can remove what can be shaken, that is the created things that we see, so that what cannot be shaken will remain. And what happens there is you find yourself in a stable place, and that is ultimately God's promise. God promises that he wants you to have a stable life. And we talked about the life of Joseph and said shaking can break you or shaking can literally become your breakthrough. And we said that it was like a plane. A plane has two wings. There's the favor of man, which we trust in, and God wants to remove that so that we have the favor of God. There's the fear of man that we trust in, and God wants to remove that so that we can have the fear of God. There's the impatience that we saw in the life of Joseph, and God removed that and replaced it with faith, which is the fuel to cause us to reach the destination or the journey that God wants to take us to. And then he said, it doesn't matter if you have fuel or the right wings, if you're headed in the wrong direction, your own purposes versus God's purposes, it's for naught. It's useless. And thus, if you have these four things that God shook out of Joseph's life and now has the stability to break through into his destiny, and that's what God wants to teach us in this hour. Lessons that we would not learn had it not been for the shaking that has occurred. Now, we jump now back to Genesis chapter 37, verse 2. And as we end this series, we look at the life of Jacob. Verse 2 says, this is the account of Jacob's line. Now we switch from talking about Joseph into talking about his father. It says, Joseph, a young man of 17. Now it's interesting that this is about the story of Jacob, but the account of his story is about his son. And this is a warning for all of us that how we do life affects the generations after, whether that's our physical sons, our natural sons, or our generational sons. So this speaks to all of us, whether spiritual, natural, or leaders in running a nation. Now, further in verse 2, it says that this is the account of Jacob's life, and this is the story of Joseph, is really the story of Jacob. The story of Jacob is a very interesting story. In fact, you might want to read this because this is one of the longest stories in the Bible. The story of Jacob begins with his twin brother being the favorite of his father, Isaac. And now Isaac is old, but he being the favorite of his mother, Rebekah. And Rebecca conceives this lie and tells him, Jacob, dress up like your brother and steal the favor of your father. The lessons that we learn are passed on from generations. The favor of man in Joseph came from learning it from his mother and his father, who played favorites. By the way, if you're a parent here, that's the worst thing you can do, is play favorites with anyone. The favor of man is now passed on to the lineage of these people. What happens next is in chapter 27, notice that the story of Jacob goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 26. And 27 verse 41, it says, Esau, his brother, his twin brother now, holds a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing or the favor that he had stolen. And now he's mad at him and says, I will kill my brother Jacob. All of a sudden, he's no longer just stealing the favor of man. He's now afraid. Now notice what happens next in chapter 27, verse 42. When Rebekah was told that her son Esau had said, the Rebekah heard, somebody told her that Esau wanted to kill Jacob. She sent for her younger son Jacob and said, your brother Esau is planning to avenge himself by killing you. Now from the favor of man, now we have the fear of man. Okay, this is how, if you're wondering where Joseph got all of these, he got it from his parents. Okay, his father favored the other brother, his brother. So watch out. Some of you younger people, you're watching, why do I behave that way? You probably got it from your parents. And where did they get it? They got it from there. And until you learn these lessons, you're going to be passing this down to generations. And why was all this happening? Because Rebekah was impatient. Because God already prophesied that Jacob was going to be greater than his brother Esau, but she couldn't wait for God to unfold his plans. And she wanted her own plans. I have a question for you. Can you think of shortcuts you've taken in the past that have backfired? I have a number of them. Shortcuts that I shouldn't have done and should have waited. But because I was impatient, I trusted in the favor of man, the fear of man, and the result is disaster like this particular story. The second question is, how can you avoid a similar situation? To me, the answer has always been pray. Meditate on the word and wait for him. Proclaim God's word and fellowship with other believers and ask them, what do you think I should do given the situation I find? That's not just fellowship with any believer, it's mature believers. And as I did that through the years, I've learned that I can figure out ways not to take shortcuts that backfire, and to avoid a similar situation where we find Jacob in this situation. Now in chapter 27, verse 43, now then, my son, do as I say. Now watch this. This is a funny mother. Okay, Rebecca, instead of just telling him, why don't you just say sorry to your dad and your brother? He says, flee at once to my brother. Like she's always impatient. She's always in a hurry. You trace back your life. It's a funny story. Now that this is not cause for you to resent and be ungrateful and curse your parents. Okay, that's not the goal of this. The goal of this is to acknowledge it and so you can change it in your life. Jacob steals his father's favor in Beersheba. Now his mother says, go to Haran. And so Jacob goes. Imagine this kid is like similar to Joseph, traveling alone in the darkness, not knowing where to go. And halfway through that, he ends in a place called Luz, which he calls Bethel, where God meets him, literally meets him and touches him and speaks to him. And Jacob left Beersheba and went out to go to Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped. That's where he stopped, in Luz, because the sun had set. And taking a stone from there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. And he had a dream. Notice where dreams come from, okay? Isn't this funny? This is Joseph's story. This is a play out of the life of Joseph. But this man would not allow God to shake it out of him. That's why it had to be shook out of the next generation. When we learn as believers to live a certain way, the people who follow, whether they're members of your congregation, whether they're leaders, whether they're family members, they don't have to go through what you go through because you've allowed God to change you. He sleeps, and then here's what happens. In which he saw, it was a dream, he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching the heavens. He actually has a vision of God. And the angels of God were descended. This is amazing. This vision has not even happened to his father, not even happened to his great-grandfather, Abraham, but to him. Because the favor of God was upon this man. But he refused the favor of God and kept on insisting on the favor of men. Now, there above, it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord your God, the father of your God, of your father Abraham. He's actually reminding, I'm the same God. In fact, and I'm the God of your father Isaac. And I will give you and your descendants the land your wish. In fact, when you go home and read the times when God meets Jacob, it's pretty interesting. God meets him and he says, I'm going to call this place Bethel, the place where I met God. He goes on to Haran. And by the grace of God, similar to Joseph, knows nobody there, and ends up meeting his cousin Rachel and meets his uncle Laban, falls in love with Rachel, tricked to marry Leah. This is a whole story. This is the drama. This is the Korean telenovela part of this story. You can go home and read this tonight. Actually, it is worth reading, honestly. If you're going to read a novel, read this one because this is real. He marries Rachel. He has children, X number of children. And after all those children, because his uncle Laban tricked him into marrying the older daughter, he tricks him. This is an interesting family. And by the way, this is not just an interesting family. This is the family that God chose, which says a lot about God. Okay, he's not after your perfection. He's after your heart. And he's been chasing this man for all his life. He tricks Laban, and Laban is mad. So he flees Laban. He runs away. He's now, and Laban chases him. Now his uncle, who now is his father-in-law, is mad at him. Notice in Genesis 31, verse 22, on the third day, Laban was told that Jacob had fled. And taking his relatives, he's taking his little army, and he pursues him. And he says, I'm going to catch up with this guy, and I'm going to kill this guy. I'm going to finally teach this guy a lesson. Now, here's what happens in verse 24. God came to Laban, the Aramean. The favor of God shows up. This story, by the way, is a mirror of the story of Joseph. And he says in the dream in the night, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. That's none of your business. This is my boy. Don't you dare touch him. So he gets over there, and again, read this tonight. It's the exchange of words is very, very, very dramatic, very interesting. And yet, in the midst of that, Jacob is able to talk his way out of it. And Jacob answered Laban, basically, I was afraid. The fear of man. The story of Jacob is the story of Joseph. Laban backs off and says, I'm going back home. Jacob flees Laban and continues his journey, trying to make his way back to Beersheba, where he started. He stops and prepares because he knows when he gets back there, he's going to meet his brother Esau. And so he prepares a lavish gift, layers of gifts, cows, goats, and all, no, maybe not cows, but he prepared different kinds of livestock in preparation for meeting his brother. He was afraid, and this time he's setting up again to win the favor of man. He hasn't learned that God's favor that happened to him in Laban, and God could do it again, but he would not trust it. He still insisted on doing things his way. The words are captured in Genesis 32, verse 20. And he says to his staff, be sure that you say this to my brother Esau. Your servant Jacob is coming before, after us, behind us. And here's what he was thinking when he said that. For he thought, I will pacify him with these gifts I'm sending on ahead. Basically, he was still buying the favor of man. Despite God's interventions in his life, he refused to learn. That's why shaking is important. Because shaking you will help you get to the place of finally trusting in the favor of God and not the favor of man. Finally having the fear of God rather than having the fear of man. And then he was left alone, the Bible says. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. This is a very interesting part of Jacob's story. Left alone, he wrestles with God. Have you ever met somebody? That's probably you. Okay, God's already met you so many times, and you keep wrestling with him. You keep telling him, hey, I know better than you. I'm going to do it. By the way, there's one thing you don't want to do is wrestle with God. That's tiring. Now, it's not bad to wrestle with the things of God, but after you've wrestled it, you need to just say, Lord, have your way. I'm obeying you. When the man saw that he could not overpower, that doesn't mean that he overpowered God. That's not what it means. What that means is this man refuses to have God overwhelm him in the spirit. This means I want my way. And guess what God does? He touches the socket of Jacob's hip. So that hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Basically, God had to break him. And now he's limping. Some of us already limping along life, and still, despite the limp, I'm going to do it my way. I have a question for you. Do you know things that you know are not God's will, and yet you insist on doing? This is your greatest opportunity. Stuck in your home and praying and seeking God and hearing this very message is your opportunity to change that. Are there things in your life that you already know that's not God's will? That relationship is not God, and you insist on doing it. Listen, you're going to be like Jacob. You're going to be running around afraid, making missteps. Even after he meets an angel, he still decides to do it his way. He goes and meets Esau. And here's what happened. This is a powerful moment here. He goes and meets Esau, and then he looks up there and he sees Esau coming with 400 men. Now think about this. This guy has a way of finding himself in a sticky situation. His uncle chases now an army is facing him. And the thing that he never sees, what the wrestling that God did was he's limping along, was God's favor was going to follow him. Esau essentially embraces him and welcomes him and forgives him. The favor of God follows him again. And yet in the midst of that, our man does not learn. God meets him once. God meets him twice. And instead of going home to Beersheba, he goes to a place called Shechem. This is the hard-headedest man you could ever find. And there he grows and his one and only daughter gets raped. You need to read this tonight. And the brothers murdered the entire city. And we find him in Genesis chapter 34, desperate. Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, the ones who murdered the city, you have brought trouble to me by making me obnoxious to the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the people living in this land. We are few in number, and if they join force against me and attack me, I and my household will be destroyed. That's what happens when you operate in this way. And finally, in the beginning of Genesis chapter 35, verse 1, God said to Jacob, go back to where we started. God says, get out of Shechem and go home to Bethel, where I first met you. Essentially, he's starting over. And that's the life of so many Christians and people. We keep disobeying God and insisting we never arrive at destiny. We keep going around in circles and we keep ending up in the same place because we trust the favor of man, the fear of man, and we have impatience. Rather than having the purposes of God, Jacob insisted on the purposes of Jacob. The story of Jacob, we find it ends in Genesis 35 with bits and pieces showing up in chapter 37 regarding his son Joseph. But he never surfaces again until Genesis 42. 42 verse 1 says, when Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, why do you keep looking at each other? Go there and get grain. So the sons went there, and you know the story. We looked at the story the last few weeks. But eventually that grain ran out. And when it ran out, he went to his children and said, you got to go back. You've deprived me of my children. You got to go back. And says, he's got to send his son Benjamin. And he declares these words, everything is against me. Think about this. Now he's old. He's tired. And by his own words, he said, my life is a mess. It just keeps going around in circles. In chapter 43, verse 1, the famine was still severe in the land, so that when he had eaten all the grain, he had no choice. You guys got to go back there and meet this guy. But Judah told him, we can't do that because the man warned us solemnly, if we go back there without our brother, we won't even see his face. And they said, if you will not send us our brother along with us, we will not go down there and buy you food, they said. And Israel said, watch this. Why did you bring this trouble to me? It's always about me. It's never about the purposes of God. It's about the purposes of me. And may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man so that he will let you or your brother Benjamin come back. As for me, watch this. I am bereaved, those statements mean I've lost everything. A man who does not fear God and does not know the favor of God will not have the discernment of God. A man who's impatient will not have the wisdom of God. Now, here's what happens to the story, and I'm going to end with this. Brothers come back and tell him that the governor of Egypt is Joseph. And so now in Genesis 46, verse 1, he sets up and takes everything. He's back to Beersheba, where he should have gone with Esau, and offered sacrifices to God. Watch this. I choke every time I come through here, so I prepared for this moment. So I won't choke online. Verse 2 is one of the most powerful verses in Scripture where God meets him again. You see, God is faithful. And all God says to him is, and read this at home, he practically touches his cheek and say, "Jacob, Jacob, if you would only listen, if you will only trust me, if you will only," and you know why this is so powerful? Because I lived this way for so long until I learned it's not the favor of man, it's the favor of God. It's not the fear of man, it's the fear of God. It's not my impatience, it's my patience, and it's not my purpose, it's God's patience. Here's what happened to him. When he realized that, and Jacob gets to Egypt, he literally looks like this. You guys have seen this, right? I mean, this is the Apple wheelie that you, in other words, your computer processor has hung. And Jacob's brain has hung. He can't process. How can Joseph be alive? He's dead. How can he be the governor? How can I have all this wealth all of a sudden? My son is the richest guy in the whole land because you do not know how to listen to God and wait for his favor. And wait and fear him and trust him and have his wisdom and be patient and live by his purposes. Final question. What spiritual as well as non-spiritual baggage do you have that could jeopardize the success of the next generation? What is it that you're carrying right now that you know so well is not about the favor of God or the fear of God or patience in God or faith in God or the purposes of God? It's making things hang for you. Lord, we just thank you that our peace comes from not our works, not our performance, not our wealth. Our peace comes from knowing that we are eternally saved, protected and washed by the blood of Jesus. We have nothing to worry about. The worst that can happen has already been dealt with. And Father, even now we decree and declare your word that says that not 1 minute of our lives will be taken away from us, because with long life, you will satisfy us and show us your salvation. Father, we have a destiny in you. And our job is not to know the timing of that, because under the heavens, Lord, there's a time to be born and a time to die. Whereas time is eternal in the heavens, it has no beginning and no end. Under the heavens, there's a beginning and an end. And we know that if we live in the favor of your will and purpose for our lives, if we embrace the fear of you, and live by faith, we will fulfill the destiny that we have on this earth completely in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.